SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Enough! Horse racing, handicapping,
interviews.
This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Tuesday. Race fans, Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964, if you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website as well, SteveBick.com. And here we are after really a nice holiday weekend, a couple of hiccups here and there when it came to some off the turf. But for the most part, things certainly, at least yesterday, sure looked good, looked fun, and some terrific results, some really good racing, including the Grade 1 for the day, that coming in the Shoemaker Mile. And if you hadn't seen it yet, get a chance. Hunt. How about that? Hunt. Phil D'Amato. And the first thing I thought of when Hunt won and paid a handsome price, it was the Breeders' Cup turf. For those of you that, you know, only kind of casually track this kind of thing, the Breeders' Cup turf may be the most productive super key race ever. It's unbelievable. Almost everybody. Hell, you had two big wins just this weekend out of it. It's in the Post and Hunt. But I mean, everybody has won. It's just amazing. It didn't take long. It didn't take long because of, you know, Talismanic and Highland Reel, but, you know, Sadler's Joy, and it's in the Post, and I haven't even checked on, was it Cliffs of Moher? I think he's won, too. I think he, right? Didn't he win in the last month or two? It's amazing. Bigger Picture, and so on and so forth. I'm going to have to do some formulator work, count up how many wins have come out of the horses that participated in the Breeders' Cup turf last year. But Hunt, what a big win this is. We'll talk to John White at 10 o'clock and go through the weekend. Of course, yesterday we had a really fun and interesting, enlightening conversation with Jim Cassidy about, you know, the method getting import horses. And of course, there was also, speaking of imports, Belvoir Bay won the Monrovia down the hill. But the Shoemaker, heart to heart, stalking, and you could tell that heart to heart can only tolerate being rated for a certain period, about half the race. And then he says, come on, come on, come on, let's go. And he got anxious a little bit and took over after stalking Ohm for the first half plus of the race and looked in decent shape. And then when Hunt came calling, and you know, Pratt, you could tell Pratt had a ton of horse. And once engaged, at first it looked like Hunt would go right on by, but he didn't. And heart to heart, I tell you, he is unbelievable. Digs in, and in fact, a couple of jumps before the wire, it looked like heart to heart was coming back at him and was going to get his head back in front. But Flavian Pratt did a terrific job, you know, holding Hunt together and getting, you know, getting him to maintain the shoulder advantage. And I think they called it a neck. It was another neck back to Fast Closing Neck Shares, who ran very well. That was a nice performance, actually, that kind of you know, you really didn't even take note of it until late, until, you know, the last couple of jumps. But the Shoemaker Mile, always entertaining. I suppose the disappointment in here was Bowie's Hero, who kind of just went around and never really... Gonna have to maybe watch it again and see what was going on with Bowie's Hero. But the attention to California as the day was winding down from the East Coast, and that included the New York Bred Showcase Day in New York, which was fun. It had everything we expected, right? Didn't we lay that out with Nick? It's such a funny occasion when the New York Bred, you know, the New York Bred races, you get horses that, you know, are utterly logical and just, you know, can't be denied. Midnight Disguise, for instance, in that Bowery. Linda Rice, and in fact, Linda Rice with a couple of wins, not just Midnight Disguise, but also Holiday Disguise. Holiday Disguise earlier, right? That was in the critical eye for the older fillies and mares. And then you get your share of decent prices. I mean, Offering Plan, of course, was even money. And Diversify won, but not without plenty of adventure, because he had a bad stumble at the start. And Jose Ortiz, and Ortiz won a pair of the New York Stakes. His brother, Rad, won a pair. The action and the success was pretty well spread around. That was a fun card, and you had to kind of be on your toes, because there, you know, especially if you played multis that included, you know, some races that were not stakes in the sequence, like in the first pick five. You had that Bruce Levine, first-time starter. And, you know, Bruce can win with a firster. It's not his, you know, it's not sort of his main MO, but JoJo's Candy, there was a, you know, $20 winner. And so he ended up with a very nice, you know, pick five, ended up, early pick five paid $9,100. There was the horse we talked about, 20-1, analyze the odds. And I you know what, I know some people bet it, and appreciate the nice notes. That was very strange, because the New York, and Andy will be with us an hour at 3. He'll be with us at 11. The New York betting cognoscenti, they're very, very savvy, and I was shocked. 20-1 on Analyze the Odds was bizarre. Come on, who? You didn't need me to say, you know, the Jason Service in a setting like this was a dangerous commodity. And it's not like Service and Michael Dubb, who maybe, you know, Dubb is as savvy as they come in playing the claiming game. This was an $80,000 claim. This wasn't, you know, a 25 claimer who was, you know, was just out of form and just had nowhere left to really to go. I mean, this was a New York Bred stake horse. He won the Breeders' Futurity. He's placed in a couple of others. This was a decent enough, at least, allowance horse, let alone New York restricted company. And even if you didn't like the form, I mean, frankly, the race two back at Aqueduct in March, that race was one of the best races on the page in with this group. A Venu Malcano, yes, there were a couple of other, you know, individual performances that, you know, and that's something I like to look for. I mean, if a horse has shown, you know, once a horse has established a baseline or has established a, you know, something that they're capable of, you know, you try to figure out if they're in position to to repeat that or approach it. Well, certainly a 20 to 1, he was a tremendous, I thought, a tremendous bet. And he was going to get a pace set up. Junior Alvarado, who actually, interestingly, has no, you know, went into this and did not have any jockey trainer stats in recent proximity. You have to go back a little bit. Because he certainly had read has ridden for Jason Service, but I thought this was, that's why I brought him up and bet him, and he won easy. I mean, they went 22-3, 45-3, 109, and that sealed the deal. And Alvarado just picked off Morning Breeze and Rentanova and anybody else that was. That was hurtling toward the front, and the reward was ample. $42 winner, and that was okay. And then things were pretty logical right till the end. But then you had a 7-1, kind of a tricky horse that won the nightcap. Phil Serpy for Hilly Fields, and this was a Cosmonaut filly. And at 7-1, I mean, she won like a 2-1 shot. She was terrific. Luis Saez aboard in the allowance to close things out. And that made for, very nice end game in the multis. Late pick four, 1,276. Got a carryover into Thursday, 35,000. Late pick five paid 11,000. There was a fun day of betting, a fun day of racing. We'll get more from Andy. And we'll start to also, with him, look forward toward Belmont Day. Fields are starting to really take shape. We know that we've got a great Acorn in store. I saw some note from yesterday from Dave Grenig about the way the Met is taking shape. Good Samaritan now joining the Met cast. Awesome Slew. Bolt Oro. And Bolt Oro, yeah, we'll talk about Justify getting ready for the Belmont in a second. And hope to talk to Baffert in this hour. As well, and plenty to talk about with Baffert because he had a terrific weekend. That Marley's Freedom winning very well in the Desert Stormer, and Dr. Doors, good performance in the Gold Cup. And I also saw that it was a big weekend for Jill Baffert as an owner. I also saw that they have that horse, The Man, that was in Philadelphia. Won at Parks, on Saturday. Kind of funny. I think John Service is training for. I guess Jill's going out and hiring her own trainers. we'll ask Bob about that. Baffert, the center of attention this morning at Churchill as Justify works, and worked really nicely. Does he have to win? No, obviously. Should he win? I mean, it's him. It's his race, and we've been down this road so many times. We all, I think, know that he absolutely can. You would think he quote unquote should, but. What he's done and what he's been asked to do and what he's accomplishing is just, you can't compare it to anything. We can compare Triple Crown tries and say, the horse has to do X, Y, and Z, but not, obviously, knowing where this whole story started with the unraced 2-year-old aspect. Well, you're in uncharted territory. You're in, it's the Bermuda Triangle. You don't know, these are it very well may be a bridge too far, as the saying goes, but we'll see. The rest of that Met Milecast I was leading to: Good Samaritan, Awesome Slew, B Jersey's okay. Bolt Oro, who's working in Keeneland and a little bit under the radar, kind of out of sight. McCracken, mind your biscuits. We talked about yesterday with Mike Welch. You may have just heard in the last little bit. Ransom the Moon. Looks like he's coming. Warriors Club. And Limousine Liberal is a possible. Possible for Ben Kohlberg. Actually, owe Ben Kohlberg a call. So I'm starting to keep tabs on those on the stakes on the undercard, and not just on Saturday, but the whole Thursday, Friday action. A great few days. I speaking of which, I probably am going to wait until tomorrow to go down to New York. So we'll start broadcasting Thursday from Belmont. Yeah, the Monday holiday kind of throws you off a little bit. Speaking of the Monday holiday, before we go to the break, a couple of things. Yesterday, after I got off the air, we were so busy yesterday and we had so many things to cover. The one thing from Memorial Day that I did not talk about, but I sent the links out on Twitter. And I think I've talked about this once before, but it got a huge reception on Twitter yesterday and into today. When you're at Belmont, and if you're coming to Belmont for the first time, or if you've been coming to Belmont for years and just never noticed, which is possible, it's not unusual that you wouldn't notice. But when you walk from the parking lot, from any of the side parking lots between the barn area and the clubhouse side, from the racing office up toward the plaza there, the plaza that overlooks the paddock. Between that plaza, the clubhouse, and the racing office, on the path, there's a stone. There's a big stone, and there's a plaque. And I don't know how many times I walked past that plaque for years and never really looked at it. And about, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago, I saw that there was a bunch of leaves and whatever on it, and I went and I kind of swept them off to see, what is this? And what it is a plaque honoring the four chaplains. And I'd never heard the four chaplains story before. And I know from yesterday's reaction, a lot of other people hadn't either. And the four chaplains, a Jewish rabbi, a Roman Catholic priest, and two Protestant ministers. I think one Lutheran and one Dutch Reform. Traveling on the U.S. Army transport Dorchester in the North Sea in 1943, in February. They were torpedoed. Ship went down. 700 men killed. 250 or so rescued. And the four chaplains each gave their life jackets to soldiers so that they could survive. And it's there at Belmont, and it's really a quiet and touching. And I thought yesterday very appropriate that pay tribute to it. So when you're at Belmont next time, take a look. We'll take a break here. Plenty to go over, including the lieutenant, speaking of the military honors yesterday, remembering the fallen, but the lieutenant justifies brother. He's a stake winner. We'll talk to Michael McCarthy in a little bit, back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee.
Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Bringing down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Somewhere in South England, when you
minutes in, recapping the weekend, and of course the three-day weekend produced a nice variety of action. There was, of course, the state bred we talked about in New York. Kind of give a quick rundown of the results, and I didn't pay enough attention actually to one of the winners, which was Feeling Bossy. I should get that one in. Won the Mount Vernon. And really glad that the weather actually and the turf held up. So Jason Service, in addition to Linda Rice, with a pair of wins on that card. There was also, going back to Saturday, and I had mentioned it leading into the weekend, but you had the Louisiana Legends and a nice card on Saturday night at Evangeline. And Carl Broberg and Social Misfit wins the Legends Classic. You had Hours to Run win the Mademoiselle. You had Ron Fichot send out Monty Man under G Money, custom for Carlos' son. And that was in the sprint. In the soiree, Testing 1-2, A Star Guitar, Victor Arsenault. Sinez also won on Mr. Al's Gal. The Salute the Sarge won the Distaff for Janson. And Double Star, Schultz Guerrero, another Star Guitar winner in the Cheval. And the Turf, Trust Factor, a Patio Prado for Mike Maker and Colby Hernandez. So I wanted to slip those in as well. We had mentioned Esmosh, the Arlington Classic. Michael McCarthy is going to join us in 25 minutes or so, and we'll talk to him about Mr. Warren's win in the All-American. And if you have not seen the All-American, the Lieutenant looks absolutely, it looks, I won't say hopelessly beaten, but he certainly doesn't look like he's going on with it, let's say that. They come around the turn. He'd been well positioned, and he seemed a little He seemed actually, he was mid-pack, I suppose. And I guess he wasn't any closer than normal than he has in the past. And when they get in the stretch, this race was fast. It got fast in the middle, and that might have suited the lieutenant's running style. And he looks like he is shot out of a cannon at about the, you know, past the eighth, so approaching the 16th ball, I think. And he just exploded. It looked like the leader, my friend Emma, looked home, basically, for Road to March. And then on the outside, here came Grecian Fire for Hollendorfer, moving big under Anton Georgi. And all of a sudden, Tyler Connor just splits horses and thump, and wins going away. So the lieutenant, this will be fun to talk about with Michael McCarthy, who is piling up the wins. And, of course, this is Justify's older brother. And he is a horse. He's 5 years old. And he's a street sense, as opposed to Justify being a scat daddy. But you would think if he can, you know, if this is the knocking on the door of, you know, he's a five-year-old and he's a horse. So there's no reason to believe that, you know, in terms of development, he's getting, you know, he continues to improve. He's coming out of the third in the Californian. And I'm going to ask McCarthy if this opens the door to try him, you know, considering this was on the Tapeta, does this open the door for maybe a turf try, or, you know, what, how do you take advantage now? Or, you know, is he just getting better and the surface is incidental in here? Very interesting. And, of course, John Gunther. We've got to get John on the show. This is a significant win for this horse. And because you would think that, you know, with his brother's value and his brother's, you know, unbelievable run here, and, you know, considering that the valuation, you know, is already, you know, an eye-popping number, there hasn't been much follow-up on that on the Coolmore purchase. But this will be interesting. I mean, I'm looking forward to talking to McCarthy. Always nice, and we'll see what else is going on, what his thoughts were about City of Light, too. We have the opportunity to, you know, get some evaluation about, you know, what did he learn with City of Light, you know, trying the mile and a quarter in the Gold Cup. So, McCarthy in a little bit. A couple of other, what else didn't we get to from yesterday? We mentioned Shotgun Cowboy winning the Lone Star Park, which was, the handicap was obviously a little dissipated, but nice win for C.R. Trout, who's just done great work with Shotgun Cowboy. Luis Quinones aboard. And the Woodbine action, and Rachel Halden for Chiefswood, and Gary Boulanger, Nygon's Eclipse won the Nassau Sunday, and Atfield. Atfield's unbelievable. We talked to him a couple of about 6-8 weeks ago. And Are You Kidding Me, who continues to click right along, won the Eclipse. So we haven't had a chance to talk much about Woodbine so far this year, but things are starting to warm up. And really, you get to this point on the calendar, approaching June, and we're not far away. In fact, we'll talk to Jeremy Plonk, and Jeremy's doing a countdown to the Queen's Plate as well. So we can start to look in that direction. And there was one more thing I was going to do. What was it? Oh, God, I'll tell you. Just a little. It was almost a little too much racing, right? I got stuff piled to the ceiling here. We got to clear it off. Waiting to hear back from Mary Epler about a visit. We'll talk to Rich Glazier about the start of Delaware getting going. And also, Dick Powell's going to join us late in the second hour, and we'll talk about the Penn Mile card coming up on Saturday. And this really found itself a home, the Penn Mile. timing-wise and positioning on the calendar. So it's part of the morning's undertaking. We'll take a break here. Looking to talk to Michael McCarthy and to Bob Baffert. We come back, and of course, Justify with about as easy as you pleased move this morning. You'll see it on the video later. They'll Churchill at KentuckyDerby.com and Twitter. It'll be all over Twitter. Links to it, and I don't even know what to say. He just is one of these horses that when he's working like that, it just looks, you know, just doesn't look like he's really trying. I mean, you can see some horses digging in and you know, really, you know, trying hard, and it's the best kind of work. I can only imagine what Baffert will tell us, but let me just 59 and change, and probably one more work after this. We'll get that from Baffert. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BrizNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BrizNet.com Performance Plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BrizNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year, and is available at BrizNet.com/APR. The BrizNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BrizNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BrizNet.com is the handicapper's edge.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Brown Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Brown Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Listos.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Golden brown, texture like sun.
lays me down. In my mind, she runs throughout the night. No need to fight, never a frown with golden brown. Every time, just like the last, on the ship, tied to her mast, to distant lands, takes both my hands, never a frown with golden brown.
We're back. We'll have either the next voice you hear, as the saying goes. Either Mike McCarthy or Bob Baffert. I'll leave this to Casey in his capable hands. And speaking of capable hands, Audible off to Kentucky for a evaluation. And being termed a possible gluteal strain. But no matter, he's going to get, they'll do a head-to-toe on Audible and try to get him back for the Haskell Travers do-si-do, or the Jim Dandy Travers. And the, you know, there is the growing list. You know, you look down the Derby, you look down the Derby exiters, and you know, you know where a few, you know, are headed, and others are, you know, getting you know, freshened. But a horse like Flame Away, you know, pointing toward Queen's Plate, as mentioned earlier, didn't hear much more from the Dale Romans camp, but as I told you yesterday, Free Drop Billy expected now, based on Dale and his response, to participate at Belmont. And, you know, speaking of which, the numbers, you know, Johnny, because I've got to work on the Express Bet Belmont Stakes wagering guide for tomorrow. And so, you know, getting familiar figuring out, you know, who, part of it is speculating who's running and who's not. And, you know, one, there's not just Gronkowski to deal with in terms of the imports. You've also got that Seahenge, it looks like he may participate, Aidan O'Brien, and the Dermot Weld, that Bandua. So you've got a very, have to go back through the Belmont annals, actually, and try to figure out the last time you had hell, even more than one, even like this. And of course, CH you know, made the North American start, so it's not like he's coming completely, you know, out of the blue and out of international waters, but that's one of the, you know, this is one of the really tough equations that is challenging, is figuring out what, you know, these horses and Gronkowski and also Bandua, the, you know, the horses that have made, you know, quality impressions going a distance aground, and then trying to, you know, translate that into a dirt performance. And as Mike Welch told you yesterday, the Gronkowski work absolutely was really encouraging to anybody that wants to lean that direction. There is a difference, of course, between, and even against a good horse like Engage, there's a very big difference between a horse looking good and having a nice work, a visually appealing work out there alone, and then doing it, you know, getting over the ground as well under race conditions. And, you know, part of the appeal of some horses on grass, it isn't just the footing and just the, you know, the way they get over ground, but it's also when it comes to dirt, you know, getting hit in the face. There's plenty of horses, they start to get, you know, facefuls of dirt at them, and they start to throw their heads, and they start to turn their heads, and they start to veer, and they don't, you know, that's a whole different kettle of fish. So figuring out what the euros, what the imports, you know, how they might fare. And you can't even, you know, you can't even use, you know, you really can't compare one to another. They're all individual decisions. That's what makes Belmont so quirky and so different. And there's certain horses that you might call in fact, here's Michael McCarthy, and he certainly can talk to this. And Mike, I'm just kind of riffing on the European horses that are going to participate in the Belmont and trying to figure out what those horses form, how it would potentially translate to a mile and a half on dirt in race conditions. And it's a lot of guesswork. You may see a horse that was running a mile and a quarter on grass in Europe, and okay, they've got staying ability, and that might encourage you. But how do you evaluate a European that is making a transition to dirt?
I think as a rule, when we see these European horses come here to the United States, a horse that's been getting 7 furlongs pretty easily can come over here and get a mile. Horses that get a mile and a quarter, we think they can get a little farther over here. A lot of those racetracks over there are undulating and have uphill climbs and downhill and, you know, clockwise, counterclockwise turns. They're just prepared a little bit differently. Their surfaces are usually a little bit softer back there, whichever country they're coming from, than they are here in the United States. Obviously, our dirt being a little bit tighter than their turf there. Some of those horses, it does translate into being able to run a little bit farther, but there's a bit of guessing involved that goes into it. So it's one of those things. Maybe the horse might have a little bit of an American pedigree or a dam that competed in the United States, one on the dirt, or being by a sire like Giant's Causeway or something like that, who's run, you know, got equally as good runners on the dirt as the turf. But yeah, there is a little bit of guessing involved when it comes to that kind of stuff.
Well, we can also extend this conversation into yesterday's success, because the Lieutenant gets a chance on the Tapita at Golden Gate, and he made as explosive a turf style move in deep stretch as you're ever going to see. I mean, that's got turf try written all over it.
Yeah, that was pretty good yesterday. Obviously, bottled up at the quarter pole, and Tyler Connor was able to go ahead and find the seam, and inside the eighth pole, horse kind of re-rallied, switched leads, got up to win by about a length, but the last quarter of a mile was pretty impressive. We bought him at OBS back in March of, gosh, it's 2015 now, I believe. And the horse had worked good on a synthetic racetrack that day, and it had always been in the back of my mind to try him on something like that, maybe even try him on the turf. Everything just kind of fell into place. That race was looking us, you know, right in the eye, so we thought we'd go ahead and give it a shot, and it just happened to work out.
Well, I suppose that purchase you're referring to, that may be the most insightful purchase ever, because maybe you and Mr. Warren had heard that John Gunther was gonna breed the mare to Scat Daddy, and you had a feeling that that would be a tremendous product. So let's get this horse before the sibling's even born.
Yeah. I was well aware of Justify before he was Justify. He was a wonderful yearling. There was quite a bit of buzz about him. This horse, you know, certainly a different kind of... This horse is about 150 pounds lighter than Justify, but it's got wonderful mechanics. It moves great. Obviously, it's a feather in his cap that his brothers won two of the three legs of the Triple Crown, is the likely favorite to win the Triple Crown. So that adds a little bit of value to him in his second career, and a graded stake yesterday sort of pushes him that way to maybe having a second career as a stallion somewhere.
I completely agree. And the interesting part of him is the progress that he's making. And I asked the question aloud earlier in the show, knowing we were going to talk about whether the surface as a contributing factor to this win, or whether he would be just as impressive right now or in subsequent starts back on the main track, on a dirt track, because he's still improving. It's pretty clear. Just even if you just use figs, it looks like he's, you know, reaching maturity at five and still has more to give.
Yeah, it's been a little bit of a slow process with him. He's had to start and stop and start a few times, a few little niggling injuries that kind of hampered us, and one big break there of nearly 16 months before he was able to get back to the winner's circle in Del Mar last year. And he's run well in the mud. He's run well on a deep, loose racetrack. He's run well in tapeta surface, so he doesn't necessarily need to take his racetrack with him. He's one of those horses that just goes out there and tries his best every time.
Where do you go now?